Morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's good to see you here today. Happy Sabbath. It's good to see Larry here. It's always good to see Larry. I was reading about Zaragoza, the city of Zaragoza in Spain this week, and I found out that name derives from Caesar Augustus. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I was reading on Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, that comes from some kind of, it went from Caesar Augustus through, you know, Spanish translation or whatever to get to Zaragoza. So we can think of Larry as the emperor. But I think this is the first time that I've ever spoke with him sitting in the pews. So hopefully this turns out all right, because, you know, the West Coast District Superintendent's here, so no pressure. No pressure. I'd like you to bow with me as we open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord God, I come before you, Lord, today, Lord. This is a Sabbath day that you've made for us to come together and worship you and praise your holy name. I pray, Lord, that you put your spirit here among us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you touch everyone here with your spirit today, Lord, that it'd be a good day in your house. And that it'd be you that's lifted up for your honor and for your glory. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. I got a few verses I'd like to share with you today, starting with some in John chapter 1. There is a man in John chapter 1 that's kind of been fascinating to me for a few years now, and his name is Nathanael. Nathanael is appears to be waiting, and somebody that's expecting the Messiah to come. In the earlier part of the chapter, it talks about John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, he sees Jesus, and he says, you know, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And John the Baptist, he had some people that were kind of hanging out with him, which included guys like Peter and Andrew, ones that eventually kind of left following John around. And and John says, you know, this is the Lamb of God. So they see that, and they're like, the Rabbi, who's this? You know, and where are you going? And, you know, says, come and see. So they start telling each other that the expected Messiah, they believe they found him. And if you start with me verse 44 of John chapter 1, this picks up with Philip. And it says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then Philip, he finds Nathanael and says to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael says unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says unto him, come and see. So I'm picturing here, Nazareth must be some place like Munson or something like that. Where anybody ever heard of Munson?
Yeah.
You know, some little place where, you know, people don't expect something good to come from. It may be like a derogatory type of thing here. You know, like, well, you know, this is not a place where we expect. It's not the grand metropolis of like Visalia, where, you know, all the good things are at, right? This is like some kind of, in my hillbilly language, we call it a podunk place. Everybody heard of podunk? It's like a podunk place. This is kind of what I'm imagining. And Nathanael's kind of got like a derogatory view of Nazareth. There can't be any good thing that comes from this place. So Philip tells him, come and see. And so Nathanael, he goes with Philip, and picking up in verse 46, it says that Nathanael or I'm sorry, picking up in verse 47, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he says to him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." This is like very, very interesting to me, because this is something that I would like Jesus to say about me when he sees me, right? I'd like to say, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is guile." I know we read in Revelation, it talks about there's the Jews that say they're Jews and that they are not, you know. They're the synagogue of Satan. But Jesus is identifying Nathanael as a true guy. He's a true Israelite. And he says he doesn't have any guile. Some versions use the word deceit, right? I think it's pretty similar to the word subtle. A guile, you know, somebody with guile, he'll trick you and cheat you and lie to you, right? And it kind of reminds me of the word in Genesis at the beginning when it talks about the serpent. There was that serpent that was the most subtle of all the beasts, right? So he's saying, this Nathanael, he's not like Satan. He's not a deceiver. He's not a liar. He's saying there is no guile. In a sense to me, he's saying, you know, this is a guy that doesn't even have Satan as a part of his life. This is a guy that's true. So then Nathanael, he responds, he says unto him, you know, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me, Jesus? And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before that Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael's thinking, okay, Philip just called me, and I was sitting under a fig tree. Jesus wasn't there. How did Jesus know that, right? How is that possible? So this guy that he says, how can any good thing come from Nazareth? Now he's amazed. He's seeing something in this Jesus that's not possible. This is a miracle, right? Because can anybody see us when we're not here? Who can do this? Right? Who has that ability? Nathanael comes up with a whole new idea here. He goes from, can any good thing come from Nazareth? To, in verse 49, he says, Nathanael answered and says unto him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In this short time between Philip calling him, he sees this one demonstration that Jesus gives him. An ability to know that he's watching us. You know, he's indicating here, this guy's omniscient, he's omnipresent. There's more to Jesus than his physical being that he sees him to as he comes to him. This guy's got an amazing ability. We see in this story people waiting, people expecting, people wanting the kingdom of God in their life. We see a man that's faithful. We see revelation. We see invitation. We see Philip telling his neighbor. We see Philip coming to Nathanael and says, "Hey, I found him. What have I found? It's a good thing." Nathanael's wondering, can any good thing come from there? But Philip's like, "Hey, I found him. It's good." And Jesus reveals himself to Nathanael in this way. And then he tells him, Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 50, he says, "Because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? you shall see greater things than these. And he says to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Very similar to the vision that Jacob had. These verses to me are very, very interesting. It seems like you could read through them and just pass right through. But there's a lot in here. Looking into it a little deeper, I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. It talks about this place, Nazareth. In verse 23, it says, And he came and he dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So Philip's thinking, you know, this is a place that nothing good comes from. But yet it's prophesied that Jesus would be coming from a place called Nazarene. That he'd be called a Nazarene and come from a place called Nazareth. Where does this prophecy come from? This is what I had Ethan read as the scripture reading in Isaiah chapter 11. If you'd like to turn with me to chapter 11. And focusing on the first verse there, I had him read five verses because I like all five of them, but my main point is here is in the first verse. And it says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So this prophecy, we know, we're relating this to Jesus, right? Jesus, we know, and if we look in the lineage in Matthew and Luke, that and it was prophesied that there'd never be a king to fail from the line of David, right? Jesse was David's father. And in this prophecy it's saying, there shall come forth a rod and a stem and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So how does this relate to that it says that he will be a Nazarene? And I think this gets a little more challenging, but if you look into the etymology of the words, in the Hebrew of the words, as it turns out, the root of Nazarene and Nazareth in the Hebrew is a branch or stem or stick. So this Jesus is referred to as the branch. Also, as Nathanael identifies him, he identifies him as the King of Israel. And we see here in chapter 11, Jesus fulfilling that role as being the King of Israel. I'd also like you to turn with me to Zechariah. Chapter 3. So Zechariah was a prophet. He was a prophet at the end of the time when the children of Israel were in Babylon. He was a prophet at the time when the temple was going to be restored. They were going to return to Israel, rebuild the temple. In chapter 3, I'm going to read you the full chapter here. In verse 1 it says, And he showed unto me Joshua, the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And he said, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. It is not a brand plucked out of the fire. Now Joshua is a real person at this time. And I think there's some duality to this message here, because when Zechariah is a prophet, Joshua is the priest of the people at that time. But the interesting thing to note is that Joshua is the equivalent of Jesus. Jesus is like the Greek version of what we call him, and in the time of Jesus they would have called him Yahshua, right? Which is the same as Joshua. Even like Joshua in the Old Testament that led the children in the Promised Land, it's the same name. And then the interesting thing here is that we see that Nazareth, the Nazarene, is related to the word branch. And in verse 2, it says that he'd be like a brand plucked out of a fire. And in this case, a brand is like, not like you stamp a cow with a brand, but this is a brand like you use a stick to stir the fire. This is a piece of wood. And continuing on in verse 3, it says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And the angel answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and thou shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. And then in verse 8 he says, hear now, Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, and again we see here the branch. I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And then he says, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall seven eyes behold, and I will engrave that graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. We see in this passage, we see the concept of the position of the high priest. We see the concept of the cleansing of sins. We see the concept here that there's going to be, he's telling them, there's going to be a branch. We saw in Isaiah 11 that this branch is promised from the stem of Jesse. And then in one day, the iniquity of the land will be removed. I think this relates to when Jesus will sacrifice for our sins. What John told, when John identified Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's identifying him as the branch, like Nathaniel's identifying him as the King of Israel, the Son of God. This idea, this town that was thought of as a derision, of a derogatory place, it's actually, when they're calling him Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene, they're saying Yahshua, the branch. Sometimes I think, you know, the more you look at Scripture, the more you read it, the more you study it, the more depth that you find in it, the more connections. You think, how could it be coincidences that he was born in such a place, or not born there, but grew up there, and that he would be called that. Even people that maybe were calling him that in a derogatory sense, not even realizing that they're actually referring to him as what he's prophesied to be referred to as. And then another interesting thing is, it says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall they call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." And think back, where was Nathanael? Where was Nathanael when he was called? He was under the fig tree. And who called him? His friend, his neighbor. His friend, his neighbor, Philip. I think it's amazing. It's divinely inspired what we see in the Word of God, the promises that we have, the fulfillment of prophecy that we see in this. I built an arbor at my house, and I planted some vines that grow up over it. This past birthday of mine, I talked my mom into getting me a little bistro and table to sit under it. As I sit under this vine, not a fig tree in this case, I got grapes, but it says vine and fig tree. As I sit under this vine, it's my hope and it's my desire that when my Lord sees me, that he says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." But my job is to say, "Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are my Savior." I'd like you to think about that. When you're sitting where you're sitting, and when you're thinking about the things that are on your heart and the things that are on your mind as you go through your life, do you think about what God sees in you? Do you think about the testimony that He'll have about you? And what is your testimony about Him? I would hope that for every one of us, that God's testimony for us, that what Jesus would say about us, is that we're beloved, that we're His children, that in us He doesn't see deceit and guile and subtlety, that He doesn't see any part of Satan in our lives. But this branch that some people look upon as coming from a place that's derided in this world, where people speak poorly of our Lord, speak ill of Him, that our testimony is the opposite. That our testimony of Him is good. That He is true, that he is the way, the life, that He has spirit, and that He has truth, that He is the King of Israel, that He is our God, that He is our Lord. And I'd like to ask that the Lord God bless you and keep you, let Him be gracious to you, let His light shine upon you, and God bless you.